I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a real-life odd couple, how a Philadelphia husband and wife take their differences over race, religion, and politics and make one harmonious mix. But first, we're going to continue our conversation about the Pennsylvania primary with a panel of voters who've joined us in the past. They're here to tell us about their impressions over the past month. Despite some high-profile endorsements from African-American leaders for Hillary Clinton, Obama has consolidated his support among African-American voters, so we're concentrating on white voters who have been more divided. Joining us are Rick Bloomingdale of the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO, Bert Siegel of the Jewish Community Relations Council, Connie Guy of the Lancaster County Democratic Women's Association, and Hannah Sassaman of the Prometheus Radio Project. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning.
Good morning, Michelle.
Be back.
Well, when we last talked, let me see if I have this right. Hannah, you were for Obama. Connie was for Hillary. Rick and Burke, at that point, had undeclared. Has anybody changed his or her mind since that time?
I have not.
Okay, Hannah?
No, not at all.
Okay. Rick and Bert, are you ready to put your hand up for somebody?
Well, not my hand, but I must tell you, I'm kind of like, those rubber kid toys. You push it and it leans in one direction, and then you push it, it leans in the other direction. I will tell you, probably when I talked to you last time, I was leaning slightly in a direction that's different than the direction I'm leaning in now. I still have till tomorrow morning.
Okay, Bert, keep us in. Where are you leaning?
I'm leaning toward Obama now.
Okay, I'm going to ask you why in a minute. Rick, what about you?
I guess I truly am a swing voter in this election. You know, we had both of them at the Pennsylvania State AFL-CIO convention. Both were very, very impressive, and it was a pleasure to meet both of them. But I'm like Bert. I mean, I'm like that. What a great analogy that, you know, that little boxing thing you used to have would go one way or the other. Every weekend or every commercial I see or every time I see him, I thought, man, this would be a great person to and they are both truly great candidates. I can't. The Democratic Party is very fortunate to have both of these folks running. And I'm still undecided.
Well, Michelle, you said they're two great people to have running. Not if you listen to them, or at least their ads. I wanted to take this whole issue of the bitter, whether, you know, small town voters are bitter and guns and religion. I think pretty much at this point everybody knows what I'm talking about. Senator Obama made some remarks at a closed door fundraiser, which have gotten a lot of attention. And Senator Clinton has kind of used that as an opening. She's made it the subject of some stump speeches as well as her ads. Rick, how did you respond to that comment? Has it affected your thoughts about him one way or the other?
I mean, I've been in politics so long, I can't really look at this as the average voter. So I tried to talk to some folks, and they characterize themselves as more angry than bitter. But there's no question. I mean, he was right about folks feeling like the last recovery passed them by. But they're not. I think he just chose the wrong words. They're angry. Although one part of his comments did bother me when he said they turned to anti-trade and anti-immigrants as part of their bitterness or anger. And that, to me, it was a little bit like these folks aren't smart about trade. They blame trade because they're losing their jobs. And I don't think he gave enough credit to folks who, I mean, if you talk to the average steelworker out there or machinist or these Harley-Davidson workers who are about to lose their jobs, they're very sophisticated and knowledgeable about trade and the different, you know, impacts it has on their lives. So I thought he, you know, the guns and the religion, heck, Pennsylvanians have had their guns since the Whiskey Rebellion in, you know, 1793. So that's just not understanding rural Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But the trade remark troubled me somewhat.
Connie, what about you? You live in Lancaster County. Did that remark bother you? Even though I know you're for Senator Clinton, but you also said that you like both candidates when we talked before.
I do
you would
like
be happy
both
with
candidates.
Either one. What about you?
Absolutely. You know, I think the bitter comment was taken out of context, actually. And I agree with Rick. It's not that people here are bitter. They're angry. I have a husband who's lost his job. You know, these jobs have gone overseas and to Mexico. I mean, Hershey chocolate, for crying out loud, an American-made candy bar, and it's being made in Mexico now. What can I say? We're angry.
Do you think
I don't
he
think
misspoke?
We're bitter.
Do you think he misspoke, and do you think his comments are hurting him?
I think he doesn't understand the things that he needs to understand. I don't think he's a smart man. He's just not ready. I don't think he's ready to be president.
He's not ready. Bert, what about you?
No, I don't think he understands the average American.
Okay, Bert,
well,
where are you?
I think he probably could have worded it differently. Certainly in Philadelphia, the gun issue is a very, very significant one. But we're not talking about hunters here, obviously. We're talking about people who use handguns either to settle disputes or because they want to rob somebody. I don't know that, as everybody else, I don't know that so much bitterness, but anger and a sense of being oppressed by the economy. Even the use of religion as a refuge from bitterness obviously was not very politic. But I think we all know that people do that at times of, great stress of a feeling of I don't know where else to turn. People, perhaps hunker down within their religious beliefs in a way that they might not have done before. And so I think what he was trying to say probably wasn't off target. That's part of his charm. I think he sometimes says things that perhaps are not the most honed as to what the focus groups will say about it. But I think he does come across as being somebody who's very sincere.
You said you were leaning his way, although you could still change your mind before tomorrow. You still have some time to really, close the deal either way. What is it about you what is it about him that you think is causing you to lean in his direction?
Well, I have a 27-year-old son who's really excited about this election, and he and his peers, I think, are very hopeful about politics in a way that generation was not. And I think it's very exciting. I've been involved, I work for a nonprofit organization, so I haven't been directly involved politically, but I've followed political issues for a long time. I've been troubled by the cynicism of the next generation, the sense that elected politics don't matter. And I think he's encouraged a whole generation of thoughtful young Americans to think, well, it can matter, and we can make the country a better place. And really the world a better place. And that's very positive. I feel good about that.
Hannah, you are very sort of involved in the community. Actually, all of you are. But I wanted to get your take on this number. Over the weekend, the Newsmax Zogby poll published on Thursday suggested that only about 35% of white voters said they're going to vote for him, compared with about 53% of whites who say they're going to back Hillary Clinton. And of course, as we've said, that most African American voters have now consolidated behind Obama. What do you think's going on? How do you read that? I'm curious, what are people telling you?
Well, first of all, I don't take a ton of stock in polls, especially when you take a look at how the caucuses compared with the primaries this year, and people who were able to hide behind a curtain and then make their decision in private as compared to making the decision in public surrounded by a room of their neighbors. It's like really making a statement. And one of the things I like the most about Senator Obama's campaign is that when you're standing, I was at that 35,000 person rally on Independence Mall. And when you're standing with a 75-year-old African-American grandmother, a 16-year-old public high schooler, and two union workers, and you see something passionate burning inside all of you speaking to each other, you are taken to a place where you can transcend normal, like, race politics, normal identity politics, to not just commit to a presidential candidate, but actually to commit to working with those same people to make actual change in your community. One thing that really struck me this weekend, this was a very little reported story, was that Bill Clinton was speaking at an event and a woman named Hillary Reagan was yelling at him saying, "Mr. Clinton, where does your wife stand on casinos?" There's a big issue in Philadelphia right now as to whether or not there should be two huge casinos built on the Delaware waterfront. Most people in the city don't think they should be built in neighborhoods, if at all. Mr. Clinton knew nothing about the issue. Mr. Nutter, who, despite the fact that he supports Mrs. Clinton, does also support what's going on with people trying to fight the casinos, had to whisper it to him. What I think would be really amazing is if people living in this city, in this state, and in this country took their excitement about this election and were able to apply it to organizing to make everything from their block to their city to their country that much better.
Is that one reason you're supporting Obama? You've you feel that somehow his style of politics will lend itself to that kind of involvement?
When you see 35,000 people coming out to a rally and people who have changed their party affiliation, whether it's from the Green Party or the Republican Party, to vote for him, what they're saying is that I have agency within myself that I can use to put someone in power to make a difference in my life and the life of people that I don't even know. I think that that's a teachable moment. That's an organizing moment. Everyone on the phone here today believes in the power of personal effort and community effort to improve our society. If we take a look at this election and take a look at the messaging, the framing, the tone of Senator Clinton's election or her campaign as compared to Senator Obama's, I think it's clear which candidate has the power to activate more people to not just be involved in the political process, but the community organizing process from here on out.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm visiting with four voters from Pennsylvania on the eve of the big Pennsylvania Democratic primary. Rick, you're branch of the AFL-CIO welcomed both candidates at a recent event. Did either of them knock it out of the park?
No, they both, we were expecting large crowds, large number of guests for both, and we got them, but not to the extent of 35,000 on Independence Mall. But, they both addressed our issues. They were both very knowledgeable. Senator Clinton had a little more understanding of Pennsylvania labor than Senator Obama did. But a lot of that's just staff work. So he did a very good job and talked about, as I said in the earlier show, we want to hear about health care, the economy, jobs. And they both address those issues with some specificity.
And I hear what you're saying about that. You want to deal with the issues, but I do want to ask how you think race is playing, given the fact that there seems to be some consolidating along racial lines, notwithstanding, all the other things that we've talked about, like that Hannah was just talking about organizing and so forth. What do you think?
I would hate to think that that's an issue for people, but I know it is.
And how is it?
Well, some people it's just new for them, like I said in the other show. And the same, there are some people who have a hard time dealing with a woman candidate. So, you have the gender issue and the race issue, and it's something that the average voter, I don't think, was expecting to deal with this year. And it's been something they've had to confront, and as if we've told all of our members, and we said it from our convention, and we've talked to our executive council, and when somebody says, "I don't think I'm hearing that people can't vote for an African American," they need to confront that head on and talk to them about if he's the eventual candidate or if that's the candidate they're supporting. They need to take that issue head on and talk about where he is on the issues, where he stands in terms of making sure that we have fair trade agreements. And the same goes for people who, say, "I've heard that people can't vote for a woman."
Rick, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what I'm hearing you say is you think race is a bigger hurdle than gender for your members or for some of your members.
I've heard more of the race issue than the gender issue, but I know they're both out there.
Connie? I think that.
Okay, Bert?
Yeah, I think that, too, is generational. I think for younger voters, both African American and white, the issue of race probably is not as compelling. I mean, the fact that that Mayor Nutter, who is a younger African American leader, has supported Senator Clinton. I was at the office the other day of State Representative Dwight Evans, who is the chair, a longtime Democratic leader, the chair of the House Appropriations Committee. He has not endorsed anybody, in fact, interestingly enough. But there were a couple of teenagers in the office, and they were talking about the election. The one girl, she said she was voting for Senator Clinton, African-American woman. The two boys were voting for Barack Obama. And they were having a great discussion about it, but the issue of race didn't seem to be so compelling to them. One of them said to the girl, well, you're just voting for her because she's a woman. And she says, yeah, I guess that's right. I'm excited about that.
Okay.
I said, Connie, I thought that was great.
Connie, finally, I wanted to ask you, we were talking in our earlier conversation with the two reporters about whether maybe people in Washington are kind of sick of it. Party leaders are saying, come on, enough already. Let's bring this thing home. And some of them are saying, the reporters are saying, you know, the voters like the opportunity to actually get a look at these candidates. So how about you? You kind of straddle both worlds. Are you sick of it? Are you ready for it to be over? Or you think it's a good thing that they're actually out there fighting it out?
I'm actually, like, excited that tomorrow night at 8 o'clock things will be done for Pennsylvania, because this has been an intense race. You know, I think there are so many people who want to vote for the first woman, and there are so many people who want to vote for the first black man. And as I said the last time we were on the show, I believe it's both their time, but it's not his turn. I'm sorry.
Break it down,
Connie. I think it's his time, but I don't think it's his turn.
Okay, finally, Hannah, you have the last word. Quickly, Hannah, quickly.
In terms of cutting in line, like one of the things that I've been really upset about is I got a ton of robocalls this weekend, too. I'm sure everyone on the phone here did. The robocalls I got from Mrs. Clinton had to do with slamming Mr. Obama about votes on oil. The ones from Mr. Obama had his wife and him speaking about hope, change, and the practical things he's going to do for the country. And I think that Mrs. Clinton is cutting in the lunch line, and she's being a little bit of a bully about it. And if we want to build a country where we use better rhetoric, better power, better transparency, then I hope that Pennsylvania chooses Senator Obama.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. We'll check in with you all on Wednesday and see who was happy and who wasn't. Rick Bloomingdale is the Secretary Treasurer of the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO. Connie Guy is President of the Lancaster County Democratic Women's Association. She joined us from WHP in Harrisburg. Bert Siegel is Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of the Jewish Federation of Philadelphia. He joined us by phone from Philadelphia. And Hannah Sassaman is Program Director of the Prometheus Radio Project. She joined us from Audio Post Philadelphia. I thank you all so much. Don't forget to vote.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle.
I had a lot more I wanted to say.